You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Those listening, driving about town on 93.3, those watching on WarChant TV in the chat room there, the Heisen Lincoln Law Firm chat room, in fact. Good to have you on board. Tommy, how are you, baby?
Man, the weather's turning around up here. I got to say, it's like my ball club that I'm following, my professional baseball. Things are turning around. We're hitting the 60s regularly. Okay, feeling pretty good. And it's a strange feeling that we're going to be without football outside of whatever that final practice is until we prep for Dublin. It was kind of quick, I feel like, spring camp went. I know you wanted it to end weeks ago and you were tired of it, but it went pretty fast.
Well, what I want to end is any threat of injury once I see that I know what we have and we're all good. You know, that's really more than anything else what I want to end. And the showcase is what it is. I mean, this is not it's not a game that is all that entertaining. You know, the people that, you know, you probably would enjoy a different format. All of us would. And that's true, by the way, of spring games kind of everywhere. I mean, this isn't unique to Tallahassee, you're unique to Florida State. Coaches set these things up to be kind of scrimmages, pseudo scrimmages, situational. And frankly, situational is not a lot of fun for folks who come into town, sit in the stands and watch. You know, you're kind of like, all right, well, got it. You know, we're running this, we're doing this, special teams drills. Really? That's what we're doing here. You know, that doesn't move the needle necessarily. So that's all the kind of, I mean, I joke about this because you get all hyped up for it. Now, I am, again, very fortunate to be one of the media members, one of the many media members that gets to go out there and watch every day and watch all of the practices that we have access to. So I've seen what I've needed to see before we ever start playing the games. There are things, though, that, you know, born from this showcase that I think now that we're putting a ribbon on spring and we've opened the portal, and more importantly, Tom, Florida State's ability now to begin to talk to players, because that was pushed back. So now that we've got Florida State jumping in and really being able to go back and assess weeks worth of practices, not just the result of the showcase. Again, you don't want to overreact to any one thing that you saw in the singular showcase. There are things there that went worse than they had at any point in practice. There are some things that went better than they had at any point in practice. So that singular thing is not a reason to decide, oh, they're good at this or they're bad at that or vice versa. It's really the culmination of the weeks leading up to that day. And did we get perhaps some more sort of verification of the thoughts we had? And I think in some regards we did. You want to start with quarterback? I think everybody's going to start with quarterback today, Tom. We probably should start with DJ. Nothing I saw out there on Saturday makes me feel any differently about him than what I saw in camp. Not a thing. DJ's a guy whose greatest strength is throwing the ball down the field. Big, big, strong-arm kid who, if Florida State is able to run the ball successfully, will utilize that skill set to throw off a play action and beat people over the top with some of the speed that they've brought in. That's how this offense is going to have to function. They're going to have to run the ball a lot better than they did a year ago. You can argue that the strength of the team is not just defensive backs, because that's the obvious answer, but I think the running back room is pretty well loaded. I think there's a lot of very talented running backs and a lot of different kinds of running backs, and you're going to have an opportunity to mix and match depending on what you want to run in a given game. So That's got to have to be the strength to best utilize DJ's skill set. He's still a guy that is at times an enigma, because you're going to be watching him and you're going to go, what was that? What was that throw? I mean, you just spike that. That's a terrible throw. And then there are going to be other times where you're just wowed by the effortless nature with which he can throw a ball 50, 60 yards in the air or to the other side of the field, as you pointed out. Yeah, he could do all of those things. So that's just who he is. I don't think that changes. I don't think suddenly that's a guy that is, you know, going to make you miss in a phone booth, or a guy that's suddenly going to complete 68% of his passes. Probably not. Probably not. But he can do a lot of things that you're set up to do and have success. I think the thing that I kind of come away with here early on is that I still have concerns about tackle, Tom. I still have concerns about offensive tackle. And in particular, I just don't think Byers has taken a step forward. I mean, I'll name names here. I don't think he looks good. And he's a guy that backup defensive ends were having success against. And that really can't be on the heels of what he didn't do a year ago either. So are they going to look into that? Is there an answer? Is the answer already on the roster? You and I both like Otto an awful lot. Maybe he is the answer. The coaches have to assess that. We'll get answers from the coaches by who they go out and try to bring in. That's the whole thing about the portal, is they tell you what they've assessed by who they go out and who they pursue. Sometimes there is an asset that is a luxury item that just happens to really want to come to Tallahassee and play for Florida State. So maybe you are able to accommodate that because it's better to have and not need than need and not have. But you're not always able to do that, especially if you look at what your outer limits are budgetary-wise. You know, what are you looking at? We're grown-ups. We can talk about that. I know that's not supposed to be the way it is, but that is the way it is. Opportunities in the NIL are a very real thing when we have these discussions. So what can they afford to bring in if you're trying to bring in an offensive lineman, if you're trying to bring in a defensive tackle, which is something I suspect they'll do? You like your frontline starters, but I imagine they're going to be interested in bringing in maybe a depth piece at defensive tackle. I would think on the heels of this spring game, again, not overreacting to any one thing we saw in the spring game, but rather the culmination of things we saw leading up to that day and then the day itself, I think, Tom, it's probably pretty clear now they need to bring in another number one wide receiver. Benson's your answer. I'm going to breathe a bit of a sigh of relief. I suspect he's going to be okay, everybody. I know a lot of people in the stadium thought that that was an ACL and thought he was done. I'm not hearing that, guys. So I feel like he's going to be somebody you can count on come fall. Let's just operate under the assumption that he's going to be good to go when we start up fall camp. And if that's the case, good. You got a guy that you really like. I don't know that you've got other guys that you really like besides Ja'Kai Douglas. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not trying to besmirch Ja'Kai Douglas, but he can't be year two. He cannot be year two. And I'm not seeing the growth from Akeem at this juncture that I would have liked to have seen. Now, can that change? It can. I mean, again, he's got the entire offseason. All the receivers that remain have the entire offseason to work on catching the damn ball. And that's got to get better, because you heard me warn you about this the first week of camp. I steady mentioned it in the middle of camp. And if you watched it on Saturday, you know what I'm talking about. There are too many drops out there. The ball hits the ground too much.
Yeah, I think if not a number one receiver, then another starting caliber receiver climbs up towards the top of the list. I think defensive interior is at the top of the list. And then there's a sliding scale based upon what's available. You know, is it a rotational player or is it a starter at the following three positions? Well, I want a starter. You know, you could say, for example, I'm just throwing positions out there: offensive tackle, linebacker, safety. I don't need another depth piece. One of those three positions, if there's a kid that likes us, that is a starter, let's put him up towards the top of the list. I had some concerns about receiver from the practices that I saw, but I'm not the skill position guy, and I got to see two of them, so I'm spending more time in the trenches. I am watching 11-on-11s, but after that performance on Saturday, when Malik goes down, and he's clearly your best receiver, when he goes down and you have to exist in a world, even if it is a showcase, of a quarter or whatever the length of time that it was, and he's not out there in the rotation, you're thinking, well, where's the answer going to come from? And you have to, if you're a coach trying to build a championship contender here, take a look at that contingency for the fall and say, do I have one? Do I have a contingency plan if Malik Benson were to miss a series, a quarter, or a game in the fall? And if so, what is that plan? And is it acceptable? And I think the answer you're going to get in the next week or so, we'll see. For me personally, I know Gene and I talked about it in the postgame show. Before spring, didn't think it would be a big-time need. After spring, I'm willing to hear that case, and I'm very interested to see if the coaching staff attacks it that way.
Yeah, again, I like to define our terms as frequently as possible because in theory you have a new listening audience every 15 minutes and we continue to grow the War Chant empire and the War Chant TV empire to where the subscriber base gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And sometimes I need to remind myself that between radio listeners and TV listeners and podcast listeners and War Chant TV viewers and all that, that we've got some new people jumping on board and they may not have a great frame of reference to the way we operate, the way we think, and kind of the, you know, basics of where we're coming from. 2 years ago, we were talking about a program that had to take an obvious leap forward in order to kind of inject themselves in the conversation of up and coming recruits that are interested in your school. And the only way you can do that is to win some games. And can you get to a place where you're not having losing seasons and you're actually going to a bowl and you're showing forward momentum? And that happened. And then all of a sudden, not only did that happen, once you gained that foothold, you were able then to take another leap forward in the way of an undefeated season. So once you went 13-0, you knew then that the old standard of like, okay, we're just trying to scratch and claw our way back into being an over 500 program and sustain some sort of respectability. Then it became, can you be elite? Can you once again win the ACC, wrestle control of the conference away from Clemson, who had been on a long run, and we had been obviously put into second and third place and really not competitive. And then we wrestled control of the conference back from them. And now it becomes, can you win a national championship? That's the logical progression as you get better and better and better. So when we're talking about roster configuration and we're asking about the assets on the roster and the assets that are out there in the portal and how you piece these things together, it's all with the backdrop of understanding how Mike operates, what Mike likes to do on offense. We know the infrastructure. We understand the modus operandi. We also understand the way that they recruit the portal, the kind of kid that has to come in order to be a success and a fit in the locker room. So these are all things you're weighing when you're discussing what they do in the off season. Once the portal opens at the end of the spring game or the spring showcase, where do you look to improve based on what the expectations are of fighting for, and this is something for the foreseeable future, I would say, fighting for championships, going to playoffs, winning the league, and competing to try to win the ultimate prize. So when you say, or if I say, because I tend to be very blunt, if I say that that guy is just not going to get it done, or I use the slang, he ain't any good, I'm talking about in reference to elite standards, not the average Joe playing football at East Tennessee State where a bum like me once played, right? Like, I'm talking about the elite levels. Like, do you match up with Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, and the programs that we're seeking to defeat in order to go to the playoff and win a national title? So by that standard, Tom, I think they've got to find a tackle other than Byers. They better find another wide receiver. I think it would do them well to get another defensive tackle in here for depth purposes because I like the frontline starters and I like some of the rotation, but I think they could use another player. You can never have too much depth at defensive tackle. So by those standards, they've got some work to do. You might even argue, Tom, that they would need to, if they could find it, go out and get a tight end. They've got one in Morlock who I think is a very good player. I think he's going to have a very good year. Thomas came in and is already a very good receiving tight end. I don't know that I can trust him to be a good inline blocker. Jackson West, if he's able to stay healthy, and that is a giant I and a giant F, is a guy that does have some talent. He's just never healthy. He looks the part of a Greek god. He's a nasty, nasty guy in terms of like getting after it when he is healthy. He'll push the line, you know, and I like that about him. But you could maybe use another tight end that is game in, game out, ready to block. They don't know that they have that guy on the roster right now.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of those positions that I would list as luxury items if you're operating with a budget or space constrictions and things like that. There are some that go, you know, to the top of the list, and I believe they're mandatory. As we're constructed right now, looking at the offense, this is an offense that must succeed running the football. if you add another receiver, you don't have to succeed running the football. Like last year's team did not have to, clearly. They hit explosives. They resembled Florida State from two seasons prior, 2021. You know, home runs and a lot of zeros and ones and twos. And that was enough because of the threat of Jordan, the receivers they had on the outside, the passing game in general. You were able to work backwards almost from what Mike Norvell wants to do. As it's currently constructed, you must be able to run the football. Because if you don't, you don't have the targets that can go generate, you know, drives that and multiple drives across a half of football when you got to have it on their own. They're going to get open. They're going to make explosive plays. DJ drops back and throws, you know, two times out of every three plays. I don't think they're constructed that way right now. You can change that a little bit when we do get into this window of the portal. But right now, what I saw is an offensive line that when the two SEC transfers are at guards is much better. They started it with Estes at left guard, and I think he's had a good camp and he's a good rotational player, but I liked when you have your Alabama guy and your Florida guy at left and right guard. That looked very nice to me. It looks sustainable. That looks like a good ground game. And then also I see speed on offense as well. You know, there's a sequence where they did get Jalen Lucas loose that they wanted to do that early in the scrimmage or the showcase. Mm-hmm. And they were able to do that. Then they have the jet sweep. Jalen Brown has a jet sweep right after that. You can see Malik Benson's got the speed. If Destin can ever come back, Toa Feely on the wheel route. Like, you're going to have a lot of speed options, and that's what Mike Norvell is excited about, and I like that. And there's physicality up on that offensive line, but it's you can't be a pass-first offense, I don't think, with what they have right now. If you'd like to get closer to balanced, then you should probably go dip into the portal and go grab yourself a receiver.
So the other part of this, and I want to comment on this because I think it's important now that we understand they're transitioning from one type of offense or within the realm of Mike's offense and aspects that he used a year ago and some other aspects that he's going to have to use this year that would really facilitate the need to go and bring in another offensive lineman. And I want to touch on this because it's kind of twofold, but we were just now kind of getting into all of this. And I just realized as I look up, I can't believe 21 minutes goes by that quick when we're passionate about Florida State football as we enter the offseason and portal time. It is the time to be passionate. Like, go get what you need. Think about what it was a year ago that you were able to do by kind of filling in the holes, right? These were things we were identifying, Tom. You recall, I was on these airwaves saying, we need to go get Keon Coleman if we can get Keon Coleman because we are not whole at wide receiver right now. We are not whole. Well, once again, we are not whole at wide receiver right now. And if there's a guy that's excited about playing here that has done it at that level, I'd certainly reciprocate. But I'd also do it on the offensive line and maybe on the defensive line. So there's a lot to figure out here. We'll continue on the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Hey, guys, I talked to you last month about my experience fitting with PXG, specifically the Black Ops driver and the fitting I had up here in Westchester, New York. I'm back to tell you, I now have it in my possession. It was mailed to me, specified exactly as I needed it with my club fitting. I am super excited to see how this driver performs for me. For a random Joe off the street, I'm a guy who can hit the ball pretty far. My carry numbers are somewhere between 240 and 260, depending upon how often I'm playing the game, but I hit it low, and I drive that ball. I've had a Titleist TS3 driver for years, 8.5 degree. Sometimes it's up to 300, 305 if the conditions are right, but I live in that range of about 270 to 290, and I knew that when I went into their facility for a private fitting, which this was a VIP fitting, everybody. It's by yourself. You don't have people hovering over you, waiting to take over the bay. You've got a private appointment with a club fitter. Sometimes a secondary club fitter comes in. You see your numbers go up. I figured on this day that when I went in, my carry distance was going to be between 238 and 245 just because I'm in the cold. I haven't been playing through football season. I'm rusty. But within 25 minutes, my carry distance went up 251, 255, 258. It was really impressive to see. And now that I have the Black Ops driver in my possession, I can't wait to see what it does for me as the weather's warming up and I get to play a little bit more golf. So for you, you got to check out the PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/Cameron and use code Cameron at checkout. That's pxg.com/Cameron, code Cameron for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Cameron, code Cameron.
It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Good to be with you. We were talking a moment ago not solely based on the results of the spring showcase, but the culmination to the end of spring, Tom, and where we're at with the roster construction, where this team needs to be to maximize their potential. What kind of team are they going to be? What kind of offense are they going to run? I can tell you one thing, they're going to be on defense. It's very good. I think they're going to be very good on defense. I think when you look at the number of elite athletic bodies and athleticism overall as a group, that's secondary, Tom. You know, you don't know because you only watch your own team every day. So it's hard to say what, you know, Georgia's secondary is going to be if you're not there every day. You can judge certainly that they're going to be good based on the way they've recruited, but you get the point. You know, we only know what we see every day, but judging by what we've seen in the past, what we've seen from the better defenders that have come through here and kind of juxtaposing those comparisons to one another, I just don't know how they're not one of, if not the best secondaries in the ACC and maybe a top 10 secondary in the country. I think they got a chance to be elite there.
So if you're going to make a counterpoint about needing, like desperate need for a receiver at Florida State, you would say it's because the secondary is so good. They're going up against each other every day. And maybe Florida State's secondary is just going to stifle a lot of decent to good wide receiver rooms throughout the season. That would be, if you're trying to play devil's advocate on where you prioritize positions in the portal, hang on a minute. I really like our corners. So maybe Hakeem's doing just fine. Maybe some of these other guys down the line are doing okay. And when they face the teams that Florida State's going to face on their schedule, you'll see that. That's the limitation of going against yourself every day. But the secondary does look quite good. They look physical. They look the part. And if you were to list a position where Florida State has an excess of talent, I think if it's not running back, you go to the defensive back room really quickly, specifically corner. Corner, they're in very good shape.
Yeah, I would suggest that is a segment group that is simply loaded. I have no concerns about what's going to happen in the secondary, especially not a corner. I think they're really good. I think that if anything, you're going to look at that room and you're going to say, golly, not all these guys can play. I wonder if we're able to keep everybody because they're just so talented. There are a lot of guys that would be starting places if they weren't battling for the position that they are here with another elite talent. They have recruited, you know, it stands to reason too, Tom, because if you think back in recruiting, my frustration was that every time I looked up, Michael Engton was reporting on another elite corner that was interested in Florida State and that they were hosting that weekend or that there was a five-star here and a four-star there. And I would be yelling on the show at that time, when am I going to read about the five-star offensive lineman that's making his way to Tallahassee to visit? And when am I going to hear about how excited they are about visiting Florida State's campus? Because at the time, I thought we had more than enough talented secondary players to access, and I still think that. And so it's good. It's good to have too much talent in a room. I would bank on that. I think they got plenty of talent at running back. May not have the explosiveness combo size and speed that they had with Trey Benson, but they got a lot of different guys that can get it done in a lot of different ways. So I think they're okay there. But I'm going to tell you, I have to try to balance some of my disappointment with the lack of significant progress at wide receiver this camp, with the realization and the knowledge. And I want to, you know, play point counterpoint here. You know, when we watch these things, by about the second week of practice, the defense knows what's coming. So every time we see a play get shut down in the showcase or at practice, there was a tell. They've seen these plays a million times in the secondary, and they're talented. And so now Mike's not calling stuff in this showcase that is going to act as a man beater. You know, you're not seeing things that you would do to pick players. I know we're not supposed to call it picks, but that's what mesh is. That's what these things are. You pick people. So they don't really do that. And thus, you're going to see a talented group of players who know what's coming dominate an offense. And for stretches, that's exactly what they did. That's not the way an opposing defense that doesn't see your offense every single day is going to act. They're going to have keys, and you're going to be able to play off of that, and you're going to have a knowledge of what they do, and then you're going to play call and install based on how to offset whatever weakness you have and strength they have and vice versa. So it's you're reminded of that, that when something's excessive, part of it is the familiarity that one group has over the other in camp. And defense is always ahead of offense. That's especially true when you're installing an offense with a bunch of new faces and a brand new quarterback. So all of that makes some sense. That said, I think they've got to go out and get another receiver.
After all that, logical reasoning, putting it all together, the motion's denied. We're going to get ourselves a wide receiver.
No, I think that's what I mean. I want people to know that I didn't just willy-nilly that because I saw a bad, stretch in the spring game.
For me, the best part of the spring game where you learn or showcase that you learn something new from a practice and 11-on-11, which they do a lot of 11-on-11 in spring camp. So it's not as though this is the first time that they're all going head to head, but they don't go live the same way that they do in the showcase or the same way that they do in a scrimmage that's closed to the media. And so the one part of practice that is really, really hard to evaluate is the success of the run game on a random Tuesday or a random Thursday, because they play thud. They don't go to the ground. The whistle blows. I don't know if Jalen Lucas was going to break that. I don't know if it was going to be a gain of 4. Ditto for any other running back. What I was buoyed by and what we don't see day to day that we get to see in the showcase is they were able to move it around and run the ball a little bit. I thought that it wasn't the most consistent thing in the world, but it wasn't one explosive and then a whole lot of nothing. For example, on Roydale Williams' touchdown, Daryl Jackson is anchoring the middle of the defensive line and they execute a combo block on him to get him out of the way. And then you've got Richie Leonard winning his block one-on-one that opens up the seam for Roydell to hit with patience, and then boom, there he goes, and he scores a 20-plus yard touchdown. Those things, plus Keziah Holmes' performance as a runner and a blocker, that's my favorite player of the day. I thought Keziah's performance was excellent, and in a room that's crowded when you're vying for snaps, he couldn't have done more things well. He ran the ball well. He showed his top-end speed. He ran through Shaheem Brown in open space. He pass-protected on Lawrence Toafili's situational score that happened early in the day before they got into 11-on-11, or I should say that the scrimmage setting, he had a lead block in that situation. Like that running game, I'm glad to be able to see that, because that's something that we do not get access to in spring camp. And they look like they were able to hold their own, especially on that left side, and especially when it was Ferguson and Richie Leonard at guard. I liked all of those pieces being put together. I think they've got a real shot to be able to run the ball this year.
Ferguson and Richie Leonard are going to guarantee that we're able to run the ball. I think that's true. I agree with you there. I think in the interior, we're fine running the football. I'm a little worried about tackle at this point. I think you can make – I was telling you off the air, Tom, that I we'll see what happens in these months that we're not at practice and they've got time to just go and go to war in the gym and get bigger and stronger. But – part of my solution right now would be that I don't know what Robert Scott's going to be in terms of availability. I never do, and I'm tired of the conversation. So I'm just going to presume that he's not available. Obviously, they're hoping that he is. Great. If he is and he's healthy, he's a good player. But I have no reason to believe that he's going to be healthy because he hasn't been in over a year. So let's just wait and see what happens. But if he's not, I think maybe you would think about Simmons and getting him out there if he can put that size on. His base is great. He's got good feet. He's got NFL left tackle length. He's all of the things. He's just a little small up top, and he's completely cleared. He's able to play. He's had good days at camp. I think you can hopefully continue to put on some size with him and see maybe he's ready. And then that way you could have him at tackle, and you could put Washington over at right tackle. That might solve some of your situation. I still think you'd need to go out and get another offensive lineman. I just don't know that they're deep enough there to withstand any significant injury. And that was the group that was disappointing last year. I said this last year during the season, and I'm going to bring it up again now because I don't know. It could certainly be answered. It could work out fine. But I really hope that we're not in a situation where we're starting to question the consistency from Atkins at this point. I mean, I'm starting to, we don't need to be having your elite programs aren't always elite on the offensive line. Then that year in and year out, they're not the most dominant group. Every fan base complains about their offensive line. because that's an area where it's obvious when they make a mistake or they're not consistent. But I'm a little two fingers to my eyes, two fingers back to you right now. I mean, we've been here before. Doesn't mean that we're panicking. Just, okay, let's see what's going on here, because that group last year was disappointing.
Well,
they were the most disappointing aspect of the team a year ago.
Yeah, agreed. And you're right to point out that every program goes through it. Alabama's issues in the offensive line the last couple of years has really hindered them, not out of a playoff spot this past season. But for Bryce Young, in his final year before he went to the NFL, his scrambling ability was the only reason that they showed out as much as they did offensively. I think it hinges on the development of a Lucas Simmons. I don't know that he'd be ready this soon in the fall. It'd be great. It'd be great if he was. Andre Otto's development, that development looks to be going very well. It is a positive development.
He's a good player. He's a real good player.
You know, I think they cross-trained him. Now, they had him at right tackle for everybody to see this weekend, and I thought he held his own. You know, there's one play where it looks like he gives up a sack to a walk-on, Menzer, but that's on Trevor Jackson, the quarterback. You could see Mike, he's pissed at the end of it. It's a play where he initially makes the block, 93 loops around, they blow the play dead. Well, it's a bubble screen to or a flash screen to Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And you just got to snap and throw. That's like that's the job. Later on, Andre Otto, and there was the second quarter of the game. He lines up against Marvin Jones, and Marvin had been on the sideline for some time, but Andre held his own in that particular circumstance too. He's extremely quick. I don't think you want to go into opening day in Dublin with that being your starting right tackle, but there are some options that could be cultivated from those high school ranks. It's just, the depth of this offensive line, where it's coming from. I think if this coaching staff is counting on Robert Scott to be available this fall, that is foolish. You can't count on that. You have to look at that as a luxury piece, not something that you're going to build around. And I'm assuming that they're thinking about it that way.
Yeah, I'd look at that. I'd look at defensive line just as another position where you'd want that depth. I'm not worried about anything in the secondary. I'm not going out and getting anybody there. I think you can look at a wide receiver. I hope Hakeem can really make a leap in the fall. That's a guy that I thought could be a superstar. I still think he has great days in front of him. I get tired of hearing him described as somebody who's really good at blocking. Great. You know, I mean, yes, in order to be out there, you're going to need to block. Got it. We should all do that for one another. That's how big plays happen. That's the essence of being a good teammate. It's kind of a prerequisite. But let's be honest with ourselves. When you bring in a five-star wide receiver that looks like that and has an NFL body, and the few times you saw him in a game last year, a couple notable moments where you went, that'll take your breath away. Like, I ought to see real progress as him as a receiver. Great that you can block, Hakeem. Let's start seeing some consistency, route running, catching, explosive plays. That's what we should see from him as he takes the next big step.
I've got a prescription for you right now. All right. Mm-hmm. It's a couple of doses of this. We're elite at corner. We're locked down at corner. And that's all it is. So just take that pill every 6 hours, just swig it back with some water. Now, if they hit the portal, you don't have to have that prescription anymore. We can wean ourselves off of the prescription. But if they don't, go into the portal and they're going to roll with what they have, which again assumes that the Malik Benson news would be good. I think if Malik Benson's news is not good, then you absolutely have to go all out.
Oh, well, there's no question about that. First of all, if that injury news is not good, and guys, I, if you missed early in the show, I'm always very careful about how we talk about these things. And we have to be, we're required to be. And it makes sense to be. We're talking about somebody's health. I think we're going to be all right. I feel like we're going to be okay. I feel like we can plan on having Malik in the fall. You know, there were a couple guys that got dinged, and we're all worried about that. But I would say that I feel like we're probably going to be all right in the fall with Ferguson. Probably going to be all right in the fall with the guys that we saw go down to injury in this particular game. That's where I'll leave it. I feel like, you know, we may have avoided disaster there. Nothing official on the record with that, you know, and that's really as far as we can take it. But I feel like that's kind of where we're at.
Well, the Ferguson development is massive, just because, again, these are two roll-up injuries at the end, which is there are some things where fans might go nuts and say, you know, are soft tissue injuries up 65%? Because Jimbo once said that they're down by 86%. Or, do we just have soft tissue injuries? But when somebody is engaged and they get rolled up on, I mean, that is purely chance. It's rolling dice on in a craps table and just seeing where they come up. But Ferguson had a good game, and I'm telling you, I got so fired up because we saw in practice that Bryson Estes was at left guard, starting at left guard. And I remember when I was down a couple of weeks ago, I walked over to you. I said, is that normal? Is that normal that Bryson's at left guard? And the universal response from you and the guys on the staff was, no, he's been good. Mike's called him out. He said it on the record, but he means it. Bryson's had a good camp. And that's great. But when the two SEC guys were at guard, I got fired up because you could see the difference. And this defensive line, which is really good at caving the pocket and creating pressures and stuffing the run, we move them a little bit. And it looks like they've got the agility to run the things we want to run as well. So if Ferguson is good, that is tremendous news. Because I think I was more broken up over that in the postgame show going, damn it, this is like the last drive he was going to be on the field anyway. This is just rotten, rotten luck.
Remember, we do have a receiver coming in from Maryland that has an awful lot of talent and is a bigger kid. So there may be some help along the way. And I think it's worth noting that, again, I want to reiterate something I said while talking about certain positions where I think it might behoove them to go out and bring another player in. You're going against a defense that kind of knows what's coming. And you're running vanilla on offense. Aware. So what sometimes looks bad isn't as bad as you think, just because of those factors. But again, my assessment is not solely based on, you know, some of the things we saw in this game. The drops were a steady problem throughout camp. You know, that's, we'll see. I mean, Mike brought it up. So let's just say I didn't bring it up. Mike brought it up. So, you know, clearly Mike was pissed about this. So if you don't have to trust me. You can be like, whatever, this blowhard thinks. Fine. Your head coach brought it up. Also, I have eyes and I've been at the practices. So, you know, they drop a lot of passes. That's just all there is to it. There's no, you can get mad about it if you want, but that's how this goes. It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you, you podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today, so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job, and he's been a Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom. A salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
And you got it before I could. Mm-hmm. But this is the time of year where in town, you want to go outside, go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't
no.
be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you can get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's. Reminder that the chat room that you guys are in is part of a sponsor that we thank for joining us here in our efforts to bring you the best in Florida State coverage on the Jeff Cameron Show. It's the Heiss Leak and Law Firm chat room there that you guys are debating. Dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Heiss Leak and Law Firm at 813-803-0733 for a free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heiss & Leak Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 now or visit HeissLinkLawFirm.com. Heiss & Leak Law Firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices, Tampa. All right. Thank you, Heiss & Leak. Appreciate you. Any other position I didn't name that stood out to you as a cause for concern or something that you think is a lot better than you thought it would be, Tom?
Oh, man. Linebacker is okay. I'm not going to say that it's a cause for concern. I'm not going to say it's locked down and we're going to be awesome at it. But I think linebacker was okay. You could see Sean Murphy at the play. What I like, good or bad, is when something in a showcase setting or spring game setting, if we get access to camp, there's a play where you can kind of see what we do when we go to practice. So I can say, this is what I'm talking about. And what I mean is, in the instance of Sean Murphy, when Toafili kind of shakes him and then scores in that situational drill early on, you could see it in the way that Murphy's approaching to make the tackle. He's thinking. There's hesitation. There's brain activity going on beyond the normal instincts of football. And I think that holds him back from being able to make a play in space. It's a one-on-one against Toafili, and he's unable to make the play. I've seen a lot of that out of him this camp. And that doesn't mean that I'm panicking about what he can be. It's just, I think he's assimilating a lot of information and he's not able to play free just yet. And that should cause concern at linebacker. But Lundy looked good. He was impressive. He needs to turn around and not celebrate so he could pick off a pass. That's
dumb.
The stuff you see from two head coaches ago, not this current coach. We don't need any of that stuff. But he looks better. And I thought Cryer, again, continues his ascent. They keep raving about Blake Nicholson, and the TV broadcast said as much too. Sometimes that TV broadcast unwittingly gives you some nice nuggets of information because of the TV production meetings. Like, for example, they said that according to Mike Norvell, Marvin Jones Jr.'s ascent has been the most rapid of any defensive line transfer they've brought in. And that's really saying something considering the defensive line transfers that they brought in. They continue to echo in the TV production meeting that they're very excited about this linebacker room, so much so that they think Cryer might be their third or their fourth guy. And he looked pretty solid as well. And I think those two young players are going to be decent as time goes along. So linebacker is one where I feel solid about. I don't think that has to rush to the top of the list as we're engaging the portal window right now.
No, it's not at the top of the list. It's an area where they're not elite. I don't think they'll be elite this year either. I am always looking for elite. I'm looking for, are you the creme de la creme of the ACC at the very least, and maybe, you know, top 10 in the country, something like that. I don't think our linebacker room is going to be that anytime soon. So will they be good enough? Can you win with them? Yeah. Yeah, I think you can win with them. I think you can. I think there'll be days where they're fine. They're better than fine. I just don't know that you're ever going to be like, man, these linebackers are dominant. Just don't see that being the case. But I like Cryer a lot. Murphy's thinking a lot. You got that. You nailed that. I think that's absolutely the right way to describe that. Lundy's a pretty good player. We'll see. You know, we'll see. We'll see if they continue to take steps. Nicholson is a player that, as he continues to get stronger, I think will become more and more of a guy that we like, that we fall in love with, because he can really run.
So a question to that end for you. You know, Adam Fuller's raving about him a couple of weeks ago, and we talked a lot about that. We played the audio. Are you willing to just trust when Adam Fuller says that he likes guy and he's turned a corner, that the guy's turned a corner? Have you gotten to that place with Adam Fuller where if he says it, you're buying it, or do you still have to wait and see for yourself? What's your confidence level in Adam Fuller's assessment and or what he's willing to go on the record saying?
Yeah, it's the latter. Yeah, it's the latter, right? It's not that I don't trust his ability to know what he's looking at. I mean, I'm not questioning that. I just
don't
think
he's asking either. Just to be careful, that's not what I was asking either.
But yeah. Well, but you're saying how much do I trust him? It has much more to do with, do I trust him to tell us the God's honest truth in a post-practice assessment? And no, I don't trust any coach to be that blunt. None of them. I mean, it's very rare unless they're trying to make a point and actually make a point through the press to the player. It is very rare that a coach at any position comes in and goes, you know, I got to tell you, we are terrible at linebacker. We're just not any good. And the players there suck. We're going to have to get better ones. This is not a good situation for us. Next question. Like you're not going to ever get that. Or you're very rarely going to get, even when it's the opposite, to make my point. Like, you could be elite somewhere, and it's still very rare that a coach is going to come in and go, you know, nobody's better in the country than we are at wide receiver. I mean, look around. We have to be the envy of every program in America right now with the bevy of receivers that we trot out there that are five-star or above. I don't know how we'll lose. You're not going to get that either. Like, that doesn't happen. So you're always kind of parsing, how much is he willing to say? What is he alluding to? Is there lines to be read, you know, between? So I think he's pleased that he's got a guy, one guy that he really trusts, another that's emerging and working hard and getting better of aspects of the game that he was weak at.
Yeah.
I don't think the linebacker position has been minimized in the modern era of football. So I have to catch myself. I keep thinking, well, man, we only have like two guys that I really like, and maybe that's all you need.
In this day and age, I think that is correct. Not all head coach or coaching indications are the same. For example, Jalen Lucas was a question early on in spring camp for Mike Norvell, and he started laughing and smiling. And you know that that's genuine. He might be trying to stay in character, but he's giddy about what Jalen Lucas can be. And we saw a couple of those types of plays, the jet to the left. You can really get a sense of how fast Lucas is. And then he had a run between the tackles later on. I just found it interesting that Adam Fuller was more jazzed about that day's practice and the run game drills than he was the scrimmage that he just saw. And he was impressed with the scrimmage.
Yes.
But he's like, all right, he's being physical. Okay. Well, now if he's going to be physical, we know he can cover. I find it interesting that they are doubling down on that. And so for me, what it does, even though I get to see practice more often than the fans do, and you get to see it much more than I do right now, my expectations go up for Nicholson. Because they continue to pound the drum and say he's okay. He's doing all the things that he needs to do, which again fortifies your original question, was what positions. Linebacker, I'm willing to just wait.
Yeah, because I want to go get another.
You've got limited space. Let's address those others right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. If you're going to put an order of importance, you're probably talking about wide receiver and offensive line, 1-2, whatever order you want to do that. Probably wide receiver first. At this point, I'm just not sure you have enough reliable folks at that position. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I have an opinion about that room. And my opinion of that room today is that you're going to lose several guys. And I haven't broached that subject yet. And that's probably something I need to broach here in the next hour. The portal's open. We get really pumped about the portal being open, and we should be. It's an awesome time, especially when you consider that this coaching staff has steady whooped ass in exploiting the portal for all the goodness it can offer, right? We do it better than most. I wish we didn't always have to rely on it as much as we do, but listen, I'm willing to admit in this grand experiment in this modern era, you can go 13-0 with a team that was heavily recruited through the portal. You can go 13-0. You could take back the conference supremacy by going heavy in the portal because we just did it. I have my questions about whether you'll win the national championship doing that, but I thought they were one of the four best teams in the country, certainly deserved to be there a year ago. So clearly you can be very, very successful. And let's go be successful. But it also means as you continue to raise the floor of your roster that you're going to lose people. They're going to get buried on depth charts. They're going to get frustrated. They're not going to get the time on the field that they want. And when that happens, you're going to lose them. That's it giveth and taketh away. So I think it's where we're at right now. Let's talk about it when we come back. We shall. It's Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.